everyone, and welcome to another episode of Lit Radio Podcast. Today on our Inside Knowledge series, we're hearing from Alison Stewart Allen. So Alison is a renowned author, speaker, educator, and expert in brand internalization. She's founder and CEO of the International Marketing Partners. She's a Californian who's been based in Europe for over 30 years. She's advised more than 240 businesses across 26 countries, including BAE Systems, Burberry, HSBC, NBC Universal, and SAB Miller on profitability, expanding their international reach. Alison is the author of best-selling book Working with Americans, lending her insights to broadcast, print, and digital media, including The Apprentice, BBC Breakfast, CNN, The FT, and Sky News, amongst others. She serves on the board of the Chartered Institute of Marketing, National Business Awards, and is a mentor for the Mayor of London's International Business Programme. Today we're hearing from Alison about international expansion. Over to Alison.
Hello, I'm Alison Stewart Allen, CEO and founder of International Marketing Partners. I spend my time trying to help companies successfully and profitably expand overseas. So I'm here today to give you some top tips on how you can localize and how you can avoid some expensive pitfalls as you expand your business internationally. So first on my list is immerse yourself. The more you can watch and listen how other cultures do things, how they behave when they're in a store, how they behave when they're online, how they behave when they might phone a call center or place an order that way. The more insights you can have by spending time in that overseas market or several markets and study very closely what people do and how they behave, how they interact with your product or service, the more insight you have, and that gets translated, therefore, in what you might need to do to adapt your products and services to be successful in that part of the world. The second top tip I suggest is doing some methodical market research. Sadly, there are no shortcuts for doing your homework. Putting in the hours, putting in the budgets, making sure that you indeed poll your target customer or client to understand how they make their purchase decisions, why they choose certain brands in the product category in which you compete, will also give you a lot of insight about what you might need to do to localize. It could mean you need to change the pack size or the color, or how you describe the benefits of your product or service, but there's no way to discount the value that you get from doing this sort of polling and on the ground surveying to make sure that you are on the front foot and can adapt accordingly. The third tip I recommend is use design thinking principles. What does that mean? It means you may need to iterate. It means you will need to participate in the market, testing and learning, taking risks, making mistakes, and applying the learning that you've derived to what you do next. The other benefit of using this approach is that it means that you need to check your assumptions about how that target international market actually works. So does your customer or client consume in the same ways as your domestic market? As frequently, are they prepared to spend as much money perhaps? The other thing it'll reveal is information about your sales channels, maybe your price point, maybe your pack size or color, as I mentioned, maybe even how your brand promise resonates. So by using these design thinking principles, which is about keen observation, participating by testing and learning, you will gather fantastic information that you can readily apply. My fourth top tip is capturing and sharing your learning and insights. There's nothing better than being pushed to distill what you've extracted from your trials. These could be product trials, service trials, a beta test group. The fact that you have to articulate what you derived from that exercise means that you get other people on board. They can ask you some good questions about the insights that you've extracted, and you can further crystallize those so that when you do apply them, you're applying the right insights rather than just conclusions. And I guess the final top tip is to study your foreign competitors in that international market. You know, what did they localize and why? What do customers or clients think of their offerings? And the more you understand your domestic competitors in that foreign market, the more you'll appreciate what they might have localized and why they did so. So let me give you a few interesting examples of companies that may have got it right or not so right as they grew into international markets. So one example is Starbucks. When Starbucks recently launched in the UK and other European markets an XL size of drink, it was an incredible supersize coffee that came in a clear insulated plastic cup that you could purchase. It actually ended up, in terms of size, being 30 ounces. They called it the Trenta, which in Italian means 30. And of course, Starbucks likes to amplify its Italian origins or its Italian beans. But 30 ounces of any drink, just to put that into perspective, is a full bottle of wine and a few more ounces on top. In fact, beyond the capacity of the human stomach. So this looked quite obscene in the UK and other parts of the world, yet this is a popular size in the US. So was Starbucks just testing the market to see if this would work? Or was it just saying, we're going to export everything we do in America to everywhere else, and let's see if that resonates? Unfortunately, it did backfire, because what it communicated was that Starbucks maybe didn't really care that European consumers would never entertain a drink of that size, and it actually just communicated a lack of understanding rather than them trying to be innovative and broaden their offering. But a good example for Starbucks is one in which they offer a half wrap sandwich in Asia. So in Tokyo, for example, I was there and I purchased this half-sized wrap sandwich. Smaller sizes actually is a good idea in that part of the world. People don't eat giant amounts at their lunch breaks. And so this ended up being a very successful offering for Asia Pacific. An example of what not to do can be learned from Best Buy. So Best Buy, again, is a U.S. company. It's an electricals retailer, a bit like Comet or Dixon's Carphone PC World. So Best Buy decided that it would insist that its merchandising approach that works for them in the U.S. would also work in China. However, what consumers expect in China is to find the brands marketed together in a store. So whether it's the Samsung or the Sony section or the Haier section, all of those brands are united. And within those sections of the store, you'll find the microwave or the vacuum cleaner or the mobile phone. But Best Buy instead did it by product category. So the printers were all together in one part of the store, the printing accessories, and unfortunately for the Chinese consumer, it did nothing more than confuse them. Ultimately, Best Buy exited the market, having shown that they really didn't understand that the Chinese wouldn't adopt the American merchandising approach. A good example, on the other hand, is the Volkswagen Beetle for the US market. So, of course, this German brand is one of the biggest, if not the biggest, car company in the world. And when it launched the Beetle in the US, it did extensive market research. And what it uncovered is that for the US market, the cup holder is an essential item inside the car. So, Volkswagen decided that because of the importance in the US market of that feature, it would redesign its assembly line, move the manual transmission back a few inches from where it is typically next to the driver's seat, and instead install the cup holder. And this, of course, cost the company several million dollars to do. But in the long run, if you want to compete in the U.S. car market, then the cup holder is an essential feature. So what this tells you is that it's not just small companies that have to invest in localizing to successfully win market share in international markets. It's also very large companies, too. There are no end of stories of companies that have refused or have localized not so well. And unfortunately for them, they pay a price. So with some of those top tips, I hope that stands you in good stead in being able to make the most of your successful product or service should you decide to expand in any overseas market. Thank you for listening.
Thank you so much to Alison. Do remember to keep an eye on our social media at Lid Publishing. We'll be sharing other podcasts from people like Alison. Thank you for listening and take care.